25:15. So, like, I don't know if, how much of my story I've shared with you guys. I'm going to cry right now. I'm teasing. When I was in just one of those transitional seasons of life, I was in ministry to church, just gotten out of seminary, and I worked at a church for 2 years in Dallas. It was phenomenal, great experience. They're like the well, and they're not afraid to change when change is necessary, and we reorged the whole church based on a conviction of where we needed to head with life groups and community, and basically they blew up everything and said, okay, let's start over and put the pieces back together. In the process of that, my friend and I, that were both kind of working in the community department, both of our jobs kind of went away. And they said, man, what do you guys want to do? What's next? And they were super gracious. He found a spot that he felt like was home for him. I didn't, and ended up kind of moving on about 6 months later, and loved that experience. One of the things I learned in that church was that, like in any place, there are always imperfections, right? Every place that you work, be it church or business or whatever, there are always things that you see as either a leader, and most likely it's as someone that's in up and coming in leadership that are kind of in your seats and younger, that you would say, man, if I was in charge, I would do this different. I see these things, man, if I had the ball and I was in charge and I was running the team, this is how it would go down. And I learned some great lessons in there. And in that season of my life, I hit one of those times where I was in the midst of change and seen things about the church that I loved and saw things that I'm like, I would change a few things. For the most part, it was a phenomenal experience. But I learned a really valuable lesson in working with one of my bosses in that area, and how to push on systems that maybe had been in place for a while, or to push on ideas and to push on things. And the guy that taught it to me is a guy by the name of Andy Stanley. He wasn't my boss, but was kind of a long-distance pastoral mentor. Andy, I think I've talked about him here before. But 25:15 was kind of the lesson that I've learned before, okay, or learned in that season. So somebody read 25:15, and I'll walk you through maybe a couple principles with that in a second. Okay, so this kind of stuck with me because I have broken this rule more often than not, especially with my personality, black, white, right, wrong, not a lot of gray. When you're pushing on, or at least when I pushed on ideas and what have you for those that were above me or things that we had implemented, I always had a difficult time to figure out how do I challenge a process and not challenge a person, right? How do I say, man, I think this system is flawed and we need to push on this without offending someone that put that in place or what have you. And this proverb stuck out to me in the midst of that talk, was one that I hung on to. When you guys are in positions of influence, as you guys are going to be in whatever field that you're in, you're going to see things that you want to change. And when you challenge a person, very rarely are you going to get your ideas acknowledged or pushed through, okay? When you challenge a process and are able to say, hey, I think this idea could be plused, it could be bettered, I think this is old or whatever it may be, the likelihood of them listening to you is going to be much, much better, okay? Things are put into place by people that care about them. And if you challenge them in the process, right, they're personally attached to that. We all get that way, right or wrong, okay? So as you think through your life and your desires to implement the things that you see, you're going to have ideas that are different and that are good, okay? Not all of them are better, but you're going to have ideas that are good. And if you're in a good position of leadership, you have someone over you that wants to hear those things, that wants pushback, that wants feedback, that doesn't have golden calves in their ministry, that can't change, or their work, or whatever it may be. But this is a great key just to learn how to do that. When you are patient and challenge, A, the process and not the person, and the words that you choose to use in that situation will go a long way, okay? And when you are, Callie, you said, by patience a ruler is persuaded, is that, who read that? Was it Jessica? Was it you? Raven, it's one of you in the front row. Sorry. I had a 33% chance and I got it wrong twice. Mine says forbearance, right? The idea of just using the right words in the right tone will get you everywhere, okay? So maybe a couple other thoughts on that from Stanley's talk a while back I want to kind of share with you as well, okay? So for those of you that are in positions where you're not the lead dog or whatever, you're not the decision maker, but maybe you're on a team where you do that, here's a couple ideas of things that will win you great favor to leverage your relationship when the time has come to maybe have some of those conversations, okay? So when you're in a position of, when you're a subordinate, okay, and you're not the team leader or whatever it may be, when your boss asks you to do things, do them, okay, and then follow up and debrief later. So if they say, man, we're going to do this program or whatever, follow through, dot the I's, cross the T's, do it to perfection, and then later say, hey, I did exactly what you asked. Next time, could we try this? I think it would have gone better in debriefing it had we done it this way. But if you push back in the midst of it and say, no, I'm not doing that, that's stupid, right? Instead of this guy wants to do that or this gal says we should do that, I'm not doing that. You're never going to have the leverage privately to say, you know what, I think we should, okay? But when a boss sees someone on the team that says, man, I asked them to do this, they pulled it off flawlessly, they gave me 110%, they did what I asked, and now we can come back and say, you know what, it would be better next time if we tried this or what about this, that's going to gain you private leverage, okay? Secondly, never verbalize your frustration with the process in front of the team, okay? If there's an issue in a team, there's a way to handle that, and usually that's one-on-one, okay? So don't be the rabble in the Exodus that's like, that starts to bark and then begins to affect everyone around them, okay? We're going to see that process specifically in the book of Numbers, and we're going to watch an entire nation go south because there's a couple people on the fringe that don't like the way that Moses is leading. They start barking in a public setting, and that cancer spreads literally like a cancer to the highest level of leadership is the nation is leaving, okay? So bark privately, not publicly, okay? Thirdly, don't confuse your insights with moral imperatives, okay? For those of you that are persisters, you're going to feel that, okay? You live in a very black and white world like myself, okay? And sometimes you think, my God, we're going to die on this hill and we have to do life groups this way or we have to do church that way or whatever it may be, okay? You're going to have strong opinions about things that are just that. They're opinions, okay? There are some things that we need to die on hills about, right? You know, the deity of Christ, but that list is pretty short, okay? You know, how we're going to run the finance ministry at the well, boy, I'm not going to take a bullet for a lot of those things, right? Now, there may be people that have great ideas, but make sure you know the difference in the two, okay? Fourthly, and this was a great lesson for me to learn, if you can't lead under, you're not going to be able to lead over. If you can't survive on a team and work in an environment where there's other people with different ideas that may be different, they may be better, if you can't learn to lead under, you will never thrive when God gives you the responsibility to lead over, okay? Team players will make great team leaders. People that are on a team that can't function with other human beings, you don't want those people for bosses one day, okay? So remember that. And you'll sit on teams and you'll watch leaders and go, man, I don't like that. Man, I don't like how they're not open to those things. Or gosh, I hope I'm like that one day when I have that ability that I'm listening, I'm discerning, and I'm creating an environment that's open for change and pushback, right? So remember those things in the midst of it. Yes, ma'am.
Can you repeat the third one?
Don't confuse your insights with moral imperatives. So find some gray, okay? And then lastly, and this is kind of the break all point, you know, if you can't follow, get off the team, okay? If there's a point where you are so distraught by whatever is happening in the midst of that environment and you can no longer follow because it's a sin issue for you, or gosh, you are just in such a complete different direction and can't get on board with whatever, then politely leave the team, okay? There are few and far between times when that happens, but there are times when it's necessary to say, listen, you guys are heading one direction, I'm going that way, man, I can't get on board, you're not wrong, I'm not right, but this is not going to be a healthy relationship, okay? So think about those things as you guys move up the ladder, okay? You're going to have opportunities to express your voice. You guys have great opinions. You're going to do things differently than the generation that did them before you, and that's good. You should, okay? You should not carbon copy, you know, a life group, a church, you know, a student ministry, a job. Everything should look different, okay? So remember that God has given you guys great insight and gifting into things. Find an environment where you can express those, and then when you guys are at the helm of that ship or that department or that ministry, whatever it may be, create an environment where that's possible, okay? And think about the people who will be on your team. If you allow an environment where challenges can be, or ideas can be challenged, and the process can be challenged, you're going to attract high-level leaders because they feel like they have say-so, they feel like they can weigh in on things, and they feel like they have an opinion. If you don't, and it's your idea of the highway, right, you're going to attract 1s, 2s, and 3s that are going to, yes, sir, yes, ma'am, whatever. You don't want those people around anyway. You want high-level folks. And of all the places I've been, I personally think The Well does a great job of that, right? We have phenomenal high-capacity leaders. We have people that push on things, which are great. We change as we see, man, the wind blowing and God moving. We don't hang on to stuff, I think, too long. So we do a good job of that, right? We're not always right, and we blow things up sometimes later and go, man, that was dumb. And sometimes for people that are high in the change scale, they love that. And for people that are like, we're in a new room for residency, what do I do? We don't do so well, okay? But I have my moments where change is fun. When I'm in control of change, it's great. When I'm not, like all of us, it's like, oh, maybe I don't like that. So, okay. So there's some dots for you, okay? Remember that at the end of the day, okay? The way you handle challenging the process and challenging ideas is going to be everything, okay? So when you gain, you'll leverage yourself publicly for private leverage, or when you do things great publicly, you'll leverage yourself better when you're in private with the door shut and with your boss and saying, hey, I think we need to do this or whatever next time, okay? So by forbearance, a ruler will be persuaded, and a soft tongue will break the bone, okay? So there you go. Thoughts, questions on that? I know that was long. Cool.